You know, on a Christmas Eve, it's always a challenge to say, what passage are we going to go from? Everyone knows the Christmas story, at least most people do in our culture. I was given another challenge for later this evening. I have a lot of little two-year-olds and three-year-olds and four-year-olds coming to our house, my grandchildren and the likes, and I have the challenge of bringing the Christmas story to them. And as I reflected on that, it gave me a good opportunity to just step back and say, really, what does this all mean to me? And as I reflected on that, I couldn't help but step away from the traditional passages, because they had, in some sense, become mundane, so familiar that I would read through them without really engaging the passage. As I meditated on the passage, I couldn't help but think of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made. You know, that's stunning. That's the one we're worshiping tonight. It's not a little baby, and that isn't the emphasis here. It's an incredible story that the Creator God of the universe sends His only begotten Son, who had always existed, and He humbly allowed Himself to be placed in the womb. I sit here tonight, and in excitement, one of my daughter-in-laws, Lori, many of you know her and know the situation, but her due date is tonight, is today. And with anticipation, we look forward to that little baby coming forth. And I'm fully aware, that'll be our 15th grandson, our grandchild, I should say, not son, but grandchild, and seen lots of babies, six of my own. To think that the Creator God of the universe would allow Himself to take upon Him the form not only of a human, but of a baby, of an infant, who is totally dependent on the nursing of his mom, the care of others. Now that helps me get the right perspective on this time of year. It's humbling what God has done. I'm mindful of what it says in Matthew, where in Matthew chapter 1 it said, but while he thought about these things, talking about Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of God, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, a startling challenge for a young man. Can you imagine being engaged, being betrothed to someone, and then having her tell you, nope, I'm with child? That would have been a little hard to handle. But then the stunning appearance of a supernatural being communicating the message, it's all right. Go forward with the plan. Matthew, just before that, had stated that now the birth of Jesus was as followed. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Later in the, well, it's actually that same basic time, probably just a little after after the birth, then the angels said to them and came to the, I'm reading from Luke now, where the angels came and spoke to these shepherds. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. You know, when you listen to these phrases, the one thing that stood out to me as I read through the Christmas account in the different areas is that we focus in on the birth of a child, but the messengers were all talking about something far more powerful. It talking about liberating us from our sins, a power to change all humanity. You know, you think about this, there was no announcements in a newspaper, but there were angels proclaiming this message. What an incredible truth. The stars even change situations. You understand, the stars come forward and they lead others to this phenomenal event. So we have angels, we have stars, we have just incredible things going on. And what's it all about? It's about a master plan that is still powerfully in effect today. You know, it's good for me to reflect on the life of Jesus. He's the King of Kings. Amen. Truly, He is the King of Kings. Even when He was in the womb, He was the King of Kings. His identity never changed. He had a purpose. He had a program. And then you think about the King of Kings taking on the form of humanity. If that wasn't humbling enough, He lived a life of sacrifice. He lived a life of surrender to the God the Father's will, and it was a life of service. Service with a purpose. As a matter of fact, He tells us in Matthew chapter 10 that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many, He says there's a purpose in this. We are to do likewise. Now, I think about that at this holiday time, and I am reminded, as Brother Bob just shared, you know, isn't it amazing how events keep happening in our families and people around us that surprise us, break our hearts? And then this is a special time of year when, even in the midst of this continuing, just rolling on of these challenges, we gather together as a family unit. In Matthew chapter 10, He made a statement that the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And so if our master came here and lived a sacrificial life and was given over to service, should it be all that surprising that we would be called to the same? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, it says, "Yet ye shall not be so among you. Whosoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant." Jesus, the King of Kings, came to be a servant, and we are called to do the same. And that's a good thing to remember. I'll tell you, as I go in to tonight and tomorrow and the year ahead, I am reminded of how we are called to expend our life for others as a testimony of our love for Jesus Christ. We are called to service. It truly is a life of privilege, because it's privilege. It's a privilege to serve the King of Kings. And therefore, all of this was an intro to took way longer than I thought it would be, but at any rate, I went to a messianic psalm, and I wanted to share it with you. It was such a blessing to me. I hope if you could just get a little bit of the blessing that I received from this, coming to the service tonight will be well worth it. And I'm sure it's worth it anyway. Already we've been blessed. In Psalms chapter 72, Psalm 72, I'm going to read seven verses. It starts off with this is a messianic psalm. It's written by Solomon some 1,400 years before the Savior shows up on the scene. He writes about the coming Savior. "Give the King your judgments, O God, and you and your righteousness to the King's Son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Now listen very carefully to verse 4. He will bring justice to the poor of the people, and he will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. Now that sheds a little insight into the heart of God. And I was challenged by that verse. I was challenged as he says, he will bring justice to the poor of the people, and he will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. Between Christmas and New Year's, I'll have a meeting. People in the neighborhood are meeting with those that are trying to build this 48-unit apartment building, right across the street from where I live. And we're gathering together because the community isn't necessarily for this. They're very concerned about this becoming a project and becoming a concentration of wickedness and evil if it's not managed properly. And it could cause even more difficulties if there aren't difficulties in the neighborhood. Thursday afternoon, 3:30, a woman shot a block and a half from my house, shot and killed. You know, just there's heartbreaking things going on, and they don't want any more of it, rightfully so. But I also recognize in our own ministry how many people need some help in the transition, in housing and the likes. And there's some real tensions here. I'm talking about across the street. Do I want to look at a 48-unit apartment building? Well, the answer to that, to be very honest with you, is no. Do I want to help those that are hurting? The answer is absolutely yes. So I read this verse, and I'm reminded of this statement. Rescue those you can rescue. Now that's a Christmas challenge. That's why he came. And we are to model our Savior. And therefore my challenge to you tonight is rescue whom you can rescue. Now I was talking about physical needs just a minute ago. But let me be very clear. The greatest need is none of our physical needs. The greatest need of all humanity is for their heart and soul to come in tune with who Jesus Christ really is and how wicked they really are and come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I am thrilled that on the first Sunday of the new year, we're baptizing two men that have had the privilege of being rescued from the evil one's grip and are now one of the children of God. Isn't that a thrill? And you know what the reality is? That is not just people out there. That's also people in our own family. And tonight, on Christmas Eve, as you gather as a family, be mindful. We need to do what we can do to help one another, and particularly to help those that are outside of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to do it in love, because love is the only thing that will do it. It is the work of the Spirit of God, but our testimony, we are to be known by our love, not by our rudeness. We should be such radiant examples of joy that those around us that don't know Jesus Christ ought to be asking us why, how. Verse 5 says, they shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. You know, I'm saddened to recognize that in America, the average person no longer fearful of God. But they should be. There's a day ahead where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some of us will do that at the same time praising and rejoicing in our Savior. But others will do it and then be on their way to an eternal damnation. The psalm goes on in verse 6 to bring out. So the first thought that stirred my heart was rescue those you can rescue. The second thought comes from verse 6. It says, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. Not only do we have a responsibility to rescue those who we can rescue, this is talking about rain coming down upon parched land. And I am reminded, refresh those who need to be refreshed. Verse 7 goes on to say, in his days the righteous shall flourish and the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. And I'm reminded that we are to rejoice always. Rejoice in his righteousness and flourish in our circumstances, in the midst of heartbreaking situations. Now, let me just briefly comment on all three of these, one at a time. In the regard to rescue those who are, you can rescue, I came across a true story about Christopher Tomko, who was a young boy who was riding with his mother, and this was in Thanksgiving Day in 2007. This took place out in the Arizona deserts in that some of that more mountainous area. The car ran off the road. And mom died. And this little boy crawled out of the wreck. He knew his mom had died, although he didn't understand what that really meant. But he knew mom wasn't communicating with him and wasn't helping him. And he wandered away. A particular man, I'm not going to try to pronounce his whole name, but Manuel, was in that same desert. He had snuck across the border and was on his way to Tucson and was just he was an illegal immigrant, okay? And he was just out there in the desert and trying to make his way. And he comes across this young boy. He was a young man. He was 26 years old. He was a bricklayer, and he wanted to get into America so that he could earn some money for his family. You know, it really speaks to the heart-wrenching scenarios in this immigration situation. But Emmanuel found this boy, knew that he couldn't make it safely in and help this boy get back. And he struggled with that, but he made the right decision. He took off his own sweatshirt and put it on the boy. And then he shared with him what water he had been carrying and what little food he had. And he built a fire. And he waited. And they said the two of them walked back to the car to make sure if mom was what the little boy was, he thought the little boy was telling him. And in fact, mom was dead. So he wandered a good distance from the car again and made this fire. And before morning, the fire was spotted, and the appropriate people came to this place. Manuel and the boy were picked up. The boy was rushed off to a hospital where he was cared for, and Manuel was transported back to the border and deported. You know, I really want to secure our borders, so I'm not speaking here on behalf of illegal immigration. But I couldn't help but read this story and recognize that's the heart. That's the heart that we ought to be demonstrating. A willingness to do what is right for the cause of another, no matter what. No matter what the cost is to us. Because we're just a journeying through here. This is not the main event. And we ought to do our level best to serve our Savior who goes all the way to the cross honorably. in regards to refreshing. When I think about the refreshing, I found some interesting quotes. "You shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. Refresh those who need refreshing." And I reflected on that, and I came across a quote that caught exactly my heart. When I thought about that, I says, who needs refreshing? And my heart was immediately to the Chick-fil-A. How many of you have ever eaten at a Chick-fil-A? I mean, it is really good. If you haven't and you get down south where they are, you ought to put it on the schedule. Okay, it is, you know, for a franchise, it's pretty good stuff. Well, Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A, said this: how do you identify someone who needs encouragement? And then he answered his own question. That person who is breathing. Did you know this? That every person you know needs encouragement? I thought about that. I believe that to be a true statement. Everybody needs encouragement. Do you know what else? Rarely do people need criticism. Now, I'm saying to this on a family night. Remember it within the home. Of all places, we ought to be able to gather on these sweet times of the year where the families come together, and of all things, be an encouragement to one another. Encourage the right things, and be careful about the criticism. Scooter Parker, which is, if you recognize the name, I'm not identifying with her positions, okay, but she had a great quote in this regard also. People have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. So look for ways to encourage and refresh others. Isn't that true? And then regards to the rejoicing, in the days of the righteousness shall flourish. Remember this tonight. Rejoice. You know what is so important in our lives? The truth is, most of us really feel a lot of pressure a good bit of the time. And you know what families and friends, one of the greatest things we can do is be an uplift. Do exactly what Scripture has called us to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in our Savior. Rejoice in God's sovereign plan to send His Son. So tonight on this Christmas Eve, I have three words that I'd like you to just keep with you as you go through the night. Rescue, refresh, and rejoice. I truly believe in that. Our Lord will be glorified. And we will be the agents that Christ really wants us to be. For if we are living the right type of life, it positions us beautifully to talk to others about their need of the Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of gathering together on Christmas Eve. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the different families that are represented, the individuals that are here. But more than anything, Father, I thank you for your plan to send your Son. I thank you for that your Son was faithful to the plan and went all the way to the cross and even went through that agonizing situation of taking upon himself the sins of the world and sensing that separation where he cried out to you, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? To go forward for the resurrection. And in that power, we can live our lives today. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the Word of God. What a privilege it is to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.